Welcome back to Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time for Tuesday's headlines now, and the Federal Reserve, as expected, has cut its key interest rate to float in a target range of 0% to 0.25%. The new policy affects the so-called federal funds rate. That's the interest rate charged between banks for overnight loans. The move to lower rates is aimed at stimulating economic growth to help pull the nation's economy out of a recession. The federal funds rate most recently was at 1%. Business expert Bill Rogers says the Fed made an unprecedented move in order to help try to stimulate the economy.
By targeting it, they can adjust back and forth, but in a very small band between 0% and 0.25%, which money's almost free at that point at 0%.
Rogers says it's clear that the Fed is trying to stimulate the economy any way that it can, but another economist, Pete Najarian of OptionMonster.com, says no matter what the tactics, it's going to take a while for this economy to improve.
Well, there certainly is more to the whole Fed as well as just the stimulus package itself. There is so much more in how that has to get implemented and over the time frame of which how that's going to hopefully start to improve.
Elsewhere on the economic front, the White House says it remains committed to putting together a financial package to help rescue the big three automakers. Spokeswoman Dana Perino says the administration is trying to keep the car makers from being forced into what she calls disorderly bankruptcy.
That's one of the options that is the least favored by the president. Put it at the bottom of the list because he does not think that in the current weakened state of our economy that we could sustain such a body blow.
Bush's position on this issue has changed, saying initially he did not favor a bailout, then saying he certainly didn't favor it with the funds committed to the $700 billion Wall Street bailout, but now that's exactly what he's hoping to dip into in order to help keep Detroit afloat. Dana Perino says, though it's unlikely the administration will offer substantial amounts of money to the big three without major concessions.
I don't think that there's any possible way that this president would agree to allow taxpayer financing to go towards firms that are not willing to make tough decisions to become viable and competitive in the future. I just do not think that will happen.
Also speaking out is Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, the architect of the $700 billion plan for Wall Street. Paulson says that the White House is not stalling and trying to put together another package for Detroit. He says, but there is enough time to make sure they get the details right.
We're not stalling. We're obviously moving ahead with all deliberative speed right here. But we've got a little bit of time.
Paulson also says that it's clear that failure is not an option for Detroit, but he says it's also important for any rescue package to put the big three back on the path to viability.
Our economy is in a fragile state right now, and failure is not a good thing. But the key thing is that any solution that there be put them on a path to long-term viability.
Meanwhile, charities are the latest victims of disgraced financier Bernard Madoff's alleged $50 billion ripoff. At least three are closing up shop after finding all their funding had vanished with Madoff's arrest on fraud charges last week. He admitted to staffers and the FBI his investment business was essentially a Ponzi scheme. The former NASDAQ chairman apparently even snookered Steven Spielberg and Nobel laureate Elie Wiesel. Spielberg's Wunderkinder Foundation invested with Madoff, as did Wiesel's Foundation for Humanity. It's not clear how much the charities were exposed. Another high-profile victim, publisher Mort Zuckerman, said roughly 10% of his charitable trust value was gone as well. On the presidential transition front, Barack Obama is naming Chicago Schools Chief Arne Duncan as his choice for the next Secretary of Education. Obama said he was making good on his campaign promise of enriching this nation.
When Arne speaks to educators across America, it won't be from up in some ivory tower, but from the lessons he's learned during his years changing our schools from the bottom up.
The 44-year-old Duncan has been superintendent of Chicago schools for 7 years. During that time, he gained a reputation for keeping a middle road between education reformers and the teachers' union. However, his most controversial move is establishing a high school for gay and lesbian teenagers. Elsewhere in Illinois today, the impeachment process has begun on the case of embattled Governor Rod Blagojevich. Democratic state lawmaker Barbara Flynn Curry says she wants to know just how much evidence the U.S. prosecutor plans to share with lawmakers as they make their decision on a possible impeachment vote.
We'll see what the governor's own people have to say about some of the things that are in the criminal charge from the U.S. attorney, but there also are other issues that people have been talking about for some time.
But lawmakers have a very good idea of what their work entails moving forward since Blagojevich refuses to resign. Among those in that category, the top Republican on the impeachment committee, Jim Durkin.
I know that there's a lot at stake. This is we're impeaching a sitting governor. This is a very, very important decision we're making, probably the most important decision we'll make as members of the legislature.
And on Wall Street today, a good day with the Dow shooting up 360 points to close at 8924, the NASDAQ up 82 to 1590, the S&P 500 up 45 points to close Tuesday's trading at 913. At the same time, crude oil prices fell 90 cents, closing at $43.60 per barrel. Still ahead in this edition of Dateline Washington, we'll examine Barack Obama's choice to be the next Secretary of Education. We'll also talk with Sherman Joyce of the American Tort Reform Association about the worst places in America to be a defendant in a civil lawsuit. But up next on Dateline Washington, the growing persecution of Christians in Iraq. Stay tuned. This is Dateline Washington.